Today we read an article from the Washington City Paper.
Klingon as a Second Language. August 9th, 1996 by Eddie Dean. Vavoy! Vavoy! The wild cries echo through the nearly empty Burger King as the 2-year-old Alex Spears calls out to his father, the Armin, who sits wolfing down a Whopper at a table across the room. After roaming as far as the soda fountain, the tousle-haired Alex suddenly realizes the vast distance between him and his dad. Tiny legs shuffling, the gleeful tot now makes his triumphant return. Vavoy, he says again, pointing to his father. The repeated word doesn't sound much like any language ever spoken in this only fast food restaurant on George Avenue, or any other terrestrial location for that matter. Like a Teutonic romper room war chant or a pigeon gutter talk of those clockwork orange punks, the mantra's enough to turn the head of a woman as Alec races by. Caught up in his infant joy, he veers past his father's outstretched arms and runs smack into the edge of the table, banging his forehead. A nasty mishap, but fortunately no real disaster. The Armin Spears cradled his bawling boy, trying to comfort him in words that sound as foreign as Alec's. K-be, he said, ko.
Teutonic terrestrial?
Pigeon gutter talk.
Teutonic romper room war chant. And clockwork orange.
What?
Clockwork orange.
I'm just telling him. It's all right. You're okay. Explains Spears as Alex settles into a sniffling calm. The tender parenting moment for Spears doubles as another linguistic victory. He's the only person on the planet raising a child to speak Klingon. Invented a decade ago for the Star Trek TV shows and films, Klingon is the official language of the alien warriors with the grotesque, bony foreheads. But in the past few years, the 2,000-word language has taken on a life of its own in the real world. It's now one of the fastest-growing artificial or constructed languages around, boasting a far-flung community of speakers, as well as a language institute, a journal, and even a poetry magazine. Like many Klingon speakers, Spears is by no means a hardcore Trekkie, and his decision to teach Alec Klingon is as academically serious as it is unique. The 28-year-old computer programmer is pursuing his PhD in linguistics at Georgetown University, and views his effort as an educational adventure. I do have a Klingon forehead I've worn a few times, but my interest is primarily in language, says Spears, an affable, witty computer geek who keeps his hair in a tight ponytail. So far, the experiment seems to be working. Alec already speaks several Klingon words, including Bavoy, which means daddy. When he speaks, he tends to prefer English, although he'll use Klingon for some things, says Spears. At Burger King, Alec banishes the hurt from his accent to make friends with the prize from his kids' meal, a toy hunchback of Notre Dame. Right off, he points to a Disney doll's tiny slippers and mutters, "Wak, wak." Spears smiles and says proudly, "Wak means shoe." Alec knows the English word for that as well, because Spears' wife talks to Alec exclusively in English, which the boy also gets in earfuls at the daycare center. In the Spears household, Klingon and English vie for Alec's attention, filling the townhouse with a wild mix of words. Most prevalent, of course, don't, or ko, in Klingon. Spears says his wife, though no fan of Klingon or Star Trek culture in general, fully approves of his project, as do his friends and relatives. Spears argues that raising Alec to switch glibly between English and Klingon is no less beneficial than more traditional bilingual upbringings. My feeling is that it's good for people in general to know more than one language. You get different viewpoints and perspectives on things. And there is evidence to suggest that kids who are bilingual do better academically, whether their second language is a constructed language or not.
Spears has not endured onlookers' shock and disbelief and heard their snickers when he explained that he and his son are conversing in Klingon. Even in the hyperpolyglot Washington, Klingon's guttural sound really do resonate like babble from outer space. From the grocery checkout counter to the folks at the daycare center, Strangers routinely stop and ask Spears what in the hell he is saying to his son. He used to simply answer, Klingon. But now he says, constructed language, which usually stalls any further comment.
When I say Klingon, people think of those vicious animal-like creatures they've seen on TV, he explains. We're interested in the language. Alec hasn't even seen the show. And one time I dressed up as a Klingon, it horrified him, so I've never done it again. Is that when he dressed up as a Klingon and the baby got scared?
Keep reading.
Even so, he adds that the Klingons have a noble culture to emulate, if not to obsess about. We have learned that the Klingons have a society highly dedicated to the concept of honor, he says. Even in their warlike behavior, they're very honorable. Spears got his first dose of Klingon as a second language not from the boob tube, but from the halls of academia. 3 years ago, he spotted a flyer on a Georgetown campus bulletin board for the Klingon Language Institute, KLI, an organization that studies the constructed language developed by Mark Okrent. I thought to myself, a new language, says Spears, who was getting his master's degree in theoretical linguistics. The fact that it was a constructed language really appealed to me. It sounded like fun. Artificial languages are nothing new. According to an article in the August issue of Wired, which features a Klingon phrase on the cover, Klingon joins a list of 700 constructed languages, from obscure medieval attempts to more recent efforts such as Esperanto. The late 19th century invention of Polish ophthalmologist, Esperanto remains the world's most popular artificial language. But for many, Esperanto holds no appeal because it is so abstract. One of the problems with Esperanto is there's no binding culture behind it, says Spears. Klingons got culture by the gods, and is a smooth union of sci-fi and linguistic impulses. Even better, the Klingon image has mellowed through the years. As the fierce alien race has evolved from the intergalactic bad guys of the original Star Trek series to the noble, if still hot-tempered, warriors of the Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, and the Star Trek movies. In 1984, Okrent, a linguist working at the Smithsonian, was hired by Paramount to invent Klingon dialogue for Star Trek III, The Search for Spock. Spears says that much of the dialogue used on the TV shows, without Okrent's aid, is bad Klingon and completely offensive to his sensitive ears.
Much wrong! The following year, Okrent, inspired by his one-shot writing gig, penned the Klingon Dictionary, which quickly became much more than a novelty item. Now, in second printing, the dictionary has sold more than 250,000 copies and serve as the Bible for the language's speakers, who take it a good deal more seriously than Okrent does. In fact, the Glover Park resident has become an elusive, legendary figure to Klingon speakers. It's kind of like Mark Okrent is a field linguist studying the Klingon language, and as he learned things about it, he reveals it to us, the community of speakers, says Spears. But we are not Klingons. We do not claim to have any knowledge about the language. We're just studying what little information has been available to us.
The clearinghouse for that intensive worldwide study is Flowertown, Pennsylvania-based KLI, which publishes a quarterly and quite scholarly journal, Whole Kid, Language Science. That means kid means science. Whole means language.
Yeah, but you say that it's Whole Kid. Whole Kid!
Language Science, which focuses on Klingon linguistics, language, and culture, and a poetry magazine, Jatme, Scattered Science. The group also recently published a translation of Hamlet, and there are other projects afoot, including the Klingon Bible Translation Project. Meanwhile, Okrent has just released The Klingon Way, a warrior's guide, featuring a slew of Klingon proverbs. Revenge is a dish best served cold. Not to mention his best...
Say that again.
Not to mention his best-selling audio cassettes, Conversational Klingon, Hear Klingon Spoken by its creator, and Power Klingon. Learn classic Klingon jokes, insults, and toasts. Along with the Wired profile, it's clear that Klingon has never been hotter. On paper, the Klingon language, at least its romanized lettering, resembles the jabberings of a typewriter on the fritz, but the spatterings of capital letters in the middle of words is the key to understanding its complex system of phonetics, making it even harder to master. Verb-heavy Klingon has no tenses and no infinitives and depends entirely on context to get the speaker's point across. Though KLI claims more than 1,000 active members, Spears estimates that only about 24 people can write and speak in Klingon. Spears communicates with fellow Klingon speakers almost daily via email. "I get about 15 Klingon messages a day," he says offhandedly. Then there are the occasional phone conversations and the annual KLI convention. At the most recent, Spears and others presented a linguistic wish list to special guest of honor Oakland, another of their attempts to push the language further. "He seemed really pleased," says Spears. But the only chance that Spears has of making the language come to life on a daily basis is with Alec. "I've been able to say almost everything I needed to say to Alec in Klingon," says Spears. "One of the reasons I find the Klingon language so interesting is that because the vocabulary and grammar is so limited, you really have to think to figure out how you're going to say something. Even putting Alec to bed becomes a linguistics puzzle because there's no Klingon word for light. When I ask him to turn out the lights, I say the Klingon for make it dark," he explains. "There's no Klingon word for love either. They don't have the concept, but in such situations, Spears simply surrenders to English." What does he mean that there's no such a word for love?
Because this was written in 1996, and all the other development in the last 30 years in Klingon has not been available to him at the time.
Mm. I mean, it wasn't made yet?
There was no Pakma at the time.
I see.
Make it dark. I think there is a Klingon for light now.
I'll look it up afterwards. Ever the realist, Spears realizes that his experiment, trying to raise a Klingon warrior in the land of Barney and Sesame Street, is not only foolhardy, but doomed. There's going to come a time when he's going to stop making the effort to speak Klingon because it'll be easier for him to speak English. It's the prevalent language, says Spears. Until then, the father and son will continue having their own private conversation. For me, it's the opposite. I think it's easier to speak Klingon than to speak English. In The Burger King, Alec is still playing with the hunchback, guiding him through a blood-red battle landscape of leftover french fries and ketchup. "Birin a bikuk ka da neh a," says Spears, adding, "I just asked him if he was finished and if he wanted some more to drink." Alec shakes his head ambiguously and hits the straw for some soda. Apparently, even when he understands, Alec's like a lot of kids. He does what he wants. Watching his son drink, Spears recalls the proud moment when Alec understood his first Klingon word, "hivjet," which means vessel, Klingon's closest approximation to milk bottle. "I was so thrilled because it was the first time something that complex had happened," says Spears. Outside the Burger King, in the dying twilight of summer eve, Spears serenades his son with a rendition of the Klingon imperial anthem he often uses as a bedtime lullaby.
"Tachjaj wo ej tachjaj vod le ma wi tor mo vaj nuk kuf mo ha jaj ta don wu maj ej kuch tru bra vaj
vaj
dashme
dashme maj
bing dak
bing dak
chach
chach
did be ku mo chu
Como
ja.
May the Empire endure, and may our Emperor endure. We serve him so that he may honor us. Our Empire is wonderful, and if anyone disagree, we will crush them beneath our boots. It's a pretty little melody for a song about intergalactic domination, and the little Klingon student obviously delights in hearing it. Nestled in his father's arms, Alec whispers along to the words, even if he doesn't understand their violent underpinnings, but the anthem sure doesn't make him sleepy. He darts away from his dad, down to the sidewalk, and into the nearby parking lot, right into the path of an incoming car. "Ko! Nadir Igosh!" screams Spears at the top of his lungs. Hearing the Klingon words, which translate as, "Don't! Come here!" or perhaps just the anger and fear in his father's voice, Alec wheels around away from the danger and runs back to the safety of his father.
I'm a west side baby. I'm a west side baby.
Thank you for listening. For more, please visit freetime.education/rewind. Text copyrights by respective authors. Audio copyright 2024 by Freetime Rewind. Music by Lord Geo.
I'm from Manhattan. My mama took a couple hits and raised a west side, baby. I gotta make it to the top for my fam. I can't take no maybe. I'm not a younger no more. Time flies so fast if it like last year I was 1-4. Oh. Life is better than before. Ain't nobody gave me keys. I had to break down that door. Oh. West side, baby. West side, baby. Westside, baby. Whoa.
Hey, toda la gente que me está escuchando, sigan sus sueños. I want everyone to follow your dreams. No dejen que nadie les diga que no. You hear me? Don't let nobody, and I mean nobody, say no. Yo.